This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We'll start tonight, inshallah ta'ala, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says, this is Surah Al-Hajj, verses 42-47.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودُ وَقَوْمُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَقَوْمُ لُوطٍ وَأَصْحَابُ مَدْيَنَ وَكُذِّبَ مُوسَى فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرِ فَكَأَيِّن مِّن قرية أهلكناها وهي ظالمة فهي خاوية على عروشها وبئر معطلة وقصر مشيد أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فتكون لهم قلوب يعقلون بها أو آذان يسمعون بها فإنها لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب التي في الصدور ويستعجلونك بالعذاب ولن يخلف الله وعده وإن يوما عند ربك كألف سنة مما تعدون.
In these verses, as I'm sure if you've taken with us the first and the second, we spoke about Thamud, we spoke about Ad. And if you've been following along and you've been reading the Quran throughout these weeks, you've probably started to notice more attention. You're noticing that there is more and more verses in the Quran that speak about these perish nations. Speak about the people of Mecca, Ad, Thamud, Musa, Madian, all of these things, your eyes start to open and you realize these are verses that we've been reading for so long, yet we might not have had that full awareness of what we're reciting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ, that if they disbelieve in you, if they say that you're a liar, if they say that, hey, you know what, this issue of Islam, it's not the truth. They're not the first ones to do that. There's nothing special about them. There was people, فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ, before them were people who disbelieved in the prophets. قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودٌ, the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud. وَقَوْمُ إِبْرَاهِيمٌ, the people of Ibrahim. وَقَوْمُ لُوطٌ, and tonight inshallah ta'ala we're going to be speaking about the people of Lut alayhi salam. وَأَصْحَابُ مَدْيَنَ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some lessons here in these verses that I wanted to start it off with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُذِّبَ مُوسَى, then Musa alayhi salam, and inshallah ta'ala that's going to be our next series, is going to be about Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, that I gave respite, or the word in English if you translate it is, I gave them time, ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ, and how horrible and terrible was the snatching and the rejection and pulling back of them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because when you're going around and telling someone about Islam, and then they say to you in response, I don't believe you, I don't believe that this is the truth. This person, only a few moments on earth and then their life is over. And if they disbelieve, there were people who disbelieved before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ, how many populations, how many nations has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed? فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٍ, and how many nations had transgressed, and you'll see as we've been following along in these different nations, injustice was the key ingredient that led to their destruction amongst other things. But at the top of their sins that were committed was their injustice to themselves, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. That indeed the greatest injustice a human being can do is to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though Allah azza wa jalla created this person, they attribute all the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than Allah azza wa jalla. وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that how many nations He destroyed, and they've tumbled down on their roofs. And this is interesting, when you go to perish nations, and you go to these nations, they're like tourist destinations these places are. How many roofs have collapsed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ. And wells, like drinking wells, that are abandoned. Nobody drinks from them anymore. وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ. And castles lofty and well built. They're well built, these castles. The wells are abandoned and the roofs have collapsed down. How many nations has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed? And so it is incumbent upon the person to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their own safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Won't they travel in the lands? And we said this, that if you have a son or you have family members that have issues in their deen, one of the key da'wah techniques is to take them traveling with you. Go and travel in the land and see what was the conclusion, the final end of those who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla said, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So that they would have hearts that they could think with. أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Or that they would have ears that they could hear with. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. That it's not the eyes that are blind. And we said this before with these nations. They were skillful. They were intelligent. They could make the best computer products. I'm sure if they were alive today, they could make them. But when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were completely ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. It's not the eyes that are blind, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. But rather, it's the hearts that are in the chest that are blind. That's what's blind, is the person's heart is sealed. أسأل الله العافية. And may Allah عز وجل keep all of our hearts alive and open to hear the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah عز وجل says, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ. And as we see a recurring theme, is that whenever they couldn't get, they couldn't argue, they would insist upon the prophets to bring the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right then and there. They're saying, in kunta sadiqan, if you're telling the truth, then bring the punishment right now. This is the message that all the prophets got. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدًا. And the interesting thing is, even the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah is going to destroy them, they can't even hasten that. And we're going to talk about that with Qawm Lut. That they have no power whatsoever. All power is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they will be destroyed, but it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the appointment. So don't try to hasten it. Even they're trying to put themselves into the driver's seat when it comes to their punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still in control. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight inshallah ta'ala we're going to be speaking about Qawm Lut. Qawm Lut, the people of Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were in Iraq. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, as you know, that he was giving da'wah to his people with the idols and so on, and nobody believed in Ibrahim alayhi salam except Lut alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَآمَنَ لَهُ Lut. That Lut alayhi salam, his nephew, believed in Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And they did hijrah from Iraq. They did hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to a place where they could worship Allah azza wa jal. And so they went to Bilad al-Sham. Bilad al-Sham. And the Sham, normally when people think Sham, they think Syria, but in reality, Sham includes much more than Syria. It includes Palestine, includes Jordan, and so on and so forth. Lebanon. The Sham area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّتِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهَا, that the place that we've blessed surrounding it. And as you know, in Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Right? So this is the sifa, the characteristics of Sham. This is where Ibrahim alayhi salam did hijrah to. This is where Lut alayhi salam did hijrah to as well. Lut alayhi salam was sent to a people by the name of Sodom. Sodom, right? And in English they say Sodom, right? Sodom was the place that Lut alayhi salam was sent to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the story of Lut alayhi salam in the Quran by telling us the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam when the angels came to him. There were three angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention in the Quran who those angels were. It doesn't mention who they were. They were three angels. And so these angels came in the form of men. They came in the form of men. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah azza wa jalla says, قَالُوا سَلَامًا قَالَ سَلَامٌ فَمَا لَبِثَ أَنْ جَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. They said salam to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and in different verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually mentions the story more than one time in the Quran. قَالَ قَوْمُ مُنْكَرُونَ. He didn't know them, and he immediately brought some roasted lamb for them. بِعِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. Hijl is lamb or is it camel? Veal? Okay. Veal, cow. Okay, you guys know, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Ibrahim alayhi salam, lesson number one, we see from Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of his nickname was Abu Dhaifan, which is the father of the guests. That whenever a guest would come, this is the karam that we see in the prophets alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam said, Bu'ithtu li'utammima makarim al-akhlaq. That I was sent, the purpose of this message was to fulfill and complete this good character, the beautiful characteristics. So one of these beautiful characteristics is to have an open door to your house. And so that whenever someone would come, immediately Ibrahim alayhi salam would come invite them and take them to his house and so on and show them food. In one of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا لَبِثَ. He didn't wait a second, they were invited in. In one verse it says, عِجْلٍ سَمِينٍ. And another verse it says, عِجْلٍ حَنِيثٍ. And سَمِينٍ means fat. So it wasn't, you know, some small portion like you get at some shawarma places or something like that, right? Some small portion, even though it might taste good, but it's a small portion. And in other places they give you a big portion, but you wish that they never gave you anything because it doesn't taste good. And so from his karam, alayhi salam, he's giving them quality that it was roasted, hanith, and also quantity, that it was samin, it was a large. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam, these are guests, he doesn't know who they are. فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَالَ أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. So he showed them the food, and this is also just a lesson on the side here, is from the karam of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You can keep going on, we can do a lecture about how Ibrahim treated his guests and all the different things that you learn from him. He presented the food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. A lot of times when there's food, it's self-serve buffet. In other words, you go to the food. Oh guests, you go to the food. Right? As opposed to, you'll see when people have karam, they bring the food to the guests. Not only do they bring the food and just put it out, قَرَّبَهُ إِلَيْهِمْ. He didn't just put it in front of them, he pushed it towards them. And he didn't just say, you know, eat whatever you guys want, inshallah ta'ala, it's alright. He said, أَلَا تَأْكُلُونَ. And so now he's even inviting his guests on top of that, alayhi salam. And then Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَأَوْجَسَ مِنْهُمْ خِيفَةً. Then he got scared of them. Because they weren't eating. They don't eat. And so you, subhanAllah, that this is the Prophet of Allah and he's afraid. And so he had that fear. عليه السلام ألا تأكلون فأوجس منهم خيفة. He got scared. And they said to him, قالوا لا تخف. They said, don't be scared of us. إنا أرسلنا إلى قوم لوط. That we were sent to the people of Lut, to destroy them. And so they first stopped in their mission. They stopped at Ibrahim alayhi salam. They brought the news. It's amazing that these angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the form of men, they came with life and they came with death. With life, that they were coming to Ibrahim alayhi salam to give him the glad tidings that he would have a son. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقُ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Sarah alayhi salam, she was there listening and she heard the angels, فَضَحِكَتْ, she laughed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the angels told her, فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِإِسْحَاقُ وَمِنْ وَرَاءِ إِسْحَاقَ يَعْقُوبُ. They gave her the glad tidings that she would have a child, Ishaq alayhi salam. And after Ishaq, Yaqub. قَالَتْ يَا وَيْلَتَا أَأَلِدُ وَأَنَا عَجُوزٌ وَهَذَا بَعْلِي شَيْخَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. She said, like, how can I have children? How can I have children? She was very old in age. Very old in age. Allah alam, the number 80 comes in my mind. I'm not sure specifically how old the narration say that she was. But she was very old in age. And not only was she old, but Ibrahim alayhi salam was old as well. وَهَذَا بَعْلِ شَيْخَ إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. This is something strange indeed. And here I just wanted to mention this because it's a lot of brothers and sisters, they get married and they don't have children for many years. This issue of infertility. And this, subhanAllah, Allah tests everybody. If you're not married, Allah is testing you, you need to get married, correct? When you get married, you're going to have husband and wife issues. Just ask any imam in a masjid. The fitna continues after you're married. And let's say you don't have children, there's a fitna in the family, there's no children. And then when you have children, do you think the fitna stops there? Then the fitna comes from the children as well, how to raise them, how to take care of them, and so on and so forth. And then you get very old, will they take care of you? The fitna of the children when they get old and you're old. And then the real fitna starts when you die, and the hereafter, and all the tests. Life is full of fitna, it's full of tests. Correct? We agree with this? So your goal in life is to get bigger tests, good tests. How to guide a nation to Islam. That's an amazing test to have. Correct? As opposed to people saying, I don't know, subhanAllah, I'm just lazy. This is my test, subhanAllah. What kind of a test is this? It's like, get up, raise your standards, and go get yourself a real test, inshallah ta'ala. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that the people that are tested the most are the prophets of Allah. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. And then, people under from the rank underneath that and the rank underneath that. Meaning the closer you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the bigger your tests become. And so just as some people, they wish for a child, and maybe it's been many years they haven't had a child. Ibrahim alayhi salam's wife, Sarah, said, إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. This is something strange, I'm so old, how can I have a child all these years? And then the angels responded to her, they said, قَالُوا أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. They said, قَالُوا أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. They said, are you amazed or do you find it strange, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rahmatullah, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the barakah upon you and your family, Ahlul Bayt. إِنَّهُ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ. After the fear that had come to him had gone away, Ibrahim alayhi salam started arguing with the angels about Qawmi Lut. He said, don't destroy them, give them another chance. He's like, maybe, you know, perhaps, maybe there's some believers there. Lut alayhi salam is there. You can't destroy them. What are you going to do? Lut alayhi salam is there. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibrahim, أعرض عن هذا. Ya Ibrahim, because Ibrahim alayhi salam was Halim, he was soft and kind and gentle alayhi salam, that he was hoping that possibly that they would have like a second chance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibrahim, u'arid an hadha, turn away from this, innahu qad jaa amru rabbik, that the decree of your Lord has come. وَإِنَّهُمْ آتِيهِمْ عَذَابٌ غَيْرُ مَرْدُودٍ. And a punishment is coming to them that cannot be turned back. And it was interesting, we were reciting in the Isha prayer here. There's a verse right at the end of Surah Al-Shams, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of Thamud. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys a people, who can retaliate against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even you think about it, right? Just think about it. Allah, when there's two armies, as soon as one army attacks the other army, they actually begin for a retaliation before they attack. So they'll say, you know, something like, hey, everybody from our country, get out of country so-and-so. And everybody sees these people leaving, they know something's going to happen because they're already preparing for the retaliation before they even start. Because that's normal with human beings in the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do dhulm or they do something like that and they're expecting retaliation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He destroys a nation, there's nothing and no one that can retaliate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala crushed them and destroyed the people of Thamud. فَسَوَّاهَا, He made them flat. There's nothing left. وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَهَا, and there is no fear of any retaliation of anyone. There's nothing. And when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, nobody can turn it back and nobody can stop it. This is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal protect us. The people of Lut, the people of Sodom, when Lut alayhi salam was sent to these people, they were, you know, not only did they, their sin, one of the major sins that Qawmi Lut was known for was their homosexuality. This was the number one thing. However, they were known for other things as well. They were known for robbery and murdering and pillaging and so on and so forth. They had other sins that they were involved in. Qawmi Lut was most known for their homosexuality. One of the things that they said to Lut alayhi salam, when Lut alayhi salam, the message that all prophets sent, as Allah azza wa jal said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ قَرْيَةٍ أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent in every qari, in every village, every nation, that they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, and stay away from the taghut. The taghut is the transgressor, the tyrant, the person who calls upon laws other than the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so every nation was called to Allah azza wa jal. And so Lut alayhi salam is calling them, years after years, calling them to Allah azza wa jal, and they refused to do this. They refused to turn back to Allah azza wa jal. They said, and Lut alayhi salam specifically was speaking to them about this indecency of homosexuality. And we'll be talking about it inshallah ta'ala as we describe lessons from what happened. But we're just giving you the general story of what took place. One of the things that they said to Lut alayhi salam, they said, قَالُوا لَئِن لَمْ تَنْتَهِ يَا لُوطُ لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ. They said, if you don't desist, O Lut, from what you're saying, لَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُخْرَجِينَ, that we're going to expel you. So we see again that when a people, they can't argue anymore the issue, they turn to violence. They turn to expulsion. They turn to physical harm of the prophets alayhim as-salam. And you'll see that they said to their people, they are now creating public opinion against Lut alayhi salam. They will say, أَخْرِجُوا أَلَى لُوطٍ مِّن قَرْيَتِكُمْ. And then they said a statement, إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They said, expel Lut alayhi salam and his family from your qariya, from your village. إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. They are people who seek purity. Now this is an interesting thing that they said. There are people who seek purity. And anybody, any culture, any reasoning says purity is something good. Correct? Purity is something good. But they're telling them, these are pure people, so get rid of them. In reality, what they did is they flipped things around. They took words and they took concepts that are good, and they use their medium, they use the public opinion to change the words around, so the good, in their words, became bad. And they're very good at flipping. We'll talk about the flipping later, inshallah ta'ala. Interestingly, if people hear about a lecture like this at the masjid, they would say, homophobic. Correct? They're like, oh my God, a bunch of homophobic people. And I thought to myself, that's an amazing word to be called. Alhamdulillah that you're homophobic. Now notice the propaganda and the indoctrination that you've been... When I just said that alhamdulillah I'm homophobic, you're thinking to yourself, you know, how could you say alhamdulillah? Something bad. Phobic. These are words that they flipped in our minds. Homophobic means a fear of homosexuality. Alhamdulillah we have a fear of homosexuality. Alhamdulillah. And then they will say it as if it's a derogatory term. But in fact, it's a praiseworthy term. And so the mizan has been flipped. And so the people, they now use these terms. And alhamdulillah, there's still people that are standing up for the truth and answering and calling and trying to hold people's hand back from the munkar. And I pray inshallah ta'ala there will be more people that do this. There was one brother who told me, we were inviting him to come move to Canada. Canada, the place of, you know, there's so much justice here and so on and so forth. This brother told me, he said, I don't wish to move to Canada because of this gross rebellion, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that's so public. And I said, Canada? You mean America, right? And he said, no, in Canada, haven't you legalized homosexual marriages? And I like, subhanAllah, I didn't realize that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we'll mention this hadith. Basically, the hadith is that... Actually, let me pull out the hadith. I want to give you the exact hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is in Ibn Majah and it's an authentic hadith. لَمْ تَظْهَرَ الْفَاحِشَ فِي قَوْمٍ قَطْ حَتَّى يُعْلِنُوا بِهَا إِلَّا فَشَى فِيهِمُ الطَّاعُونَ وَالْأَوْجَعَ الَّتِي لَمْ تَكُنْ مَضَتْ فِي أَسْلَافِهِمْ الَّذِينَ مَضَوْا. The Prophet ﷺ said, there is not a people in which a fahisha, right? This is a vice, an evil, becomes widespread and public. Right, the key are like some people say, oh, in this country they have homosexuality. Yeah, but it might be there. There's sin everywhere. Nobody, there's not a place that doesn't have sin, but it's not legalized and it's not public. And so a person might be able to do it, say in a Muslim country, but they have to hide. And there are many other countries, not just Muslim countries, they have to hide. But the key point is this, that when it becomes public, and the people announce it publicly and openly, nobody is stopping to say anything to them. Nobody's saying anything. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's not possible for this to happen except that the ta'un will spread amongst these people. The ta'un, what's the translation for ta'un? Ta'un is like a plague. Okay, so a plague or a disease will spread amongst them, wal awja' and illnesses that did not exist in the people that came before them. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as you know, I don't even have to go into details. You know exactly what we're talking about. That diseases and sicknesses come that the people that came before, they didn't even know about this. It's unknown where this comes from, what any kind of cure this is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has this for the people who become public with these sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And I hope that a lecture like this will start to encourage people to speak up. I just wanted to say that whenever there's a gay rally, isn't it interesting they call them gay? They're happy people, right? That's a lot of afiyah. There are a type of people that go to these rallies and stand up for the truth. They have signs that tell them to stop what they're doing or they'll go to hellfire. Do you think they are Muslims? No, they are not Muslims. They are not Muslims. They are Christians. They are Christians who stand up for this. I was once in Australia, and if you go to Australia, it's a nice place in general, but they have disobedience so public. You're not accustomed to it in Canada and the US. Meaning that the bars are like everywhere. And the casinos you're talking about in regular rural areas, there's like casinos in the middle there. Like the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very public, very open. And I was giving a lecture there once, and I said, it seems to me that the Christians are not very active in your country. This is what it seems to me. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a lot of the vices have been held back by the Christians. And so if you look up homosexuality, you will find that it is the people who are fighting against it, in the most part, in a large way, are the Christian groups. And so I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will join the ranks and start to stand up and start speaking out against things like this. As everybody will start to say to you, إِنَّهُمْ أُنَاسٌ يَتَطَهَّرُونَ. You will be labeled. And we've been quiet for a very long time about this issue. And so you'll be labeled. People start saying it's a hate crime. People start saying this and this and that in order to keep you silent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. And so speak up for the truth that Allah azza wa jal gives, for the goodness of these own people, to protect them. I was once listening to the radio, and this was like a popular radio channel, and it was like a Sunday or something like that, one of these days, and there was a whole program dedicated to the destruction of homosexuality. And I thought, this is amazing that they would have an hour dedicated to someone saying that if a person practices homosexuality, that, you know, their chances of dying, it's like the most deadliest thing that a person can do is practice this sin. But this person who was speaking this lecture, I imagine, you know, I was very excited because Muslim, was it a Muslim guy talking on a public radio like this, paying many thousands of dollars to get like a whole hour? No, it was a Christian. He was speaking long and long and long and long, and then he did something that, you know what, I was so impressed with this person. At the end of his lecture, he said that if you have any problems with homosexuality, then call church so-and-so, and we will help you. And they said, and because normally people might be shy about this, they gave them even a private number. And we will help you with this issue. Subhanallah. You have to have respect for someone that's not just talking, but at the same time, it's not about hating homosexuality, hating homosexuals. It's about hating homosexuality, the sin, and everybody deserves guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as all the prophets, the people of Lut, nobody said to the people of Sodom, oh, you know what, they're practicing homosexuality, so let's leave them. You know, oh, if they were worshippers of idols, we can go give dawah to them, but if they're homosexual, let's leave them alone. No, everybody deserves dawah, and they were sent their prophet as other people were sent prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm going to be speaking about the details of the people of Lut alayhi salam. When these three, when the three angels came, they came in the form of men, and they were very young, very handsome men, these angels, alayhim as-salam. And so it's narrated that the first person to see the angels, to see these men coming into town, was the daughter of Lut, alayhi salam. And so she got very scared, because subhanAllah, these people, Sodom, these people of Lut, that not only would they practice homosexuality, but they would rape and sodomize, as they say, the guests that would come into their village. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so she saw them and she was very afraid. And so she quickly ran and she told her father Lut alayhi salam that there's three guests who have come into town. I met them on the outskirts. And she said that she told them about him. Lut alayhi salam came running out and he's very scared for them. And again, you see the mercy of the Prophet alayhi salam. When someone doesn't give da'wah to Allah azza wa jal, a lot of people, they think of the non-Muslims as, oh, may they be destroyed, may they be punished, destruction, all of this stuff. In fact, the Prophets alayhi salam, the exact opposite, they're looking for the mercy of the people to be guided to Allah azza wa jal. And the issue about being destroyed and so on comes after a lifetime of dawah to the people, a stage that many of us are not at. And so you will see these prophets racing and running for the salvation of anyone that they could salvage, anybody that they could help. So Lut alayhi salam went to them, and so it is said that Lut alayhi salam, he couldn't Because it was, these people are very known for their generosity and hospitality. If Lut alayhi salam tells them, you know what, you can't stay at my house, go somewhere else. What will they do? They will go into the place, into Sodom, and they will seek a place to stay from someone else, which is not what Lut alayhi salam wants. So he can't tell them, you can't stay at my house. But if he brings them to his house, that's like in the midst of Sodom, that they would, you know, be in the midst there and something bad could happen to them there as well. And so what could Lut alayhi salam do? He told them to wait here until nightfall. Don't move until nightfall. So that he would be able to bring them into the city, into the village, when nobody could see them. And so when Lut alayhi salam brought them in, and when nighttime came, he came to them and started bringing them into his home and into, you know, the village. He started cursing the people of Sodom, so that the angels would get the hint to go somewhere else. He doesn't know that they're angels. To him, they're just people who had who are just travelers. Just three handsome men who had come in. And he would say things like, I don't know anybody more eviler than the people of Sodom. There's nobody more evil on the face of earth than the people of Sodom. And these three men were quiet. And it's mentioned, it's not in the Quran, but it's mentioned that Lut alayhi salam said this four times to them. And that they were waiting. They said that we had orders from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not destroy the people of Lut, the Sodom, until their prophet witnesses against them. And so he testified four times against him, and they're going to be destroyed. Lut alayhi salam brought them to his home. Now nobody knows that these men are in the home, and these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَأْتِيكُمْ فِي نَادِيكُمُ الْمُنْكَرُ. Right, they used to, in their nadi. A nadi is like a sporting club. If you go to places, they call a sporting club a nadi. It's a public area where people go to do sports or do activities and so on and so forth. It's a public area, a nadi. And so these people, the people of Lut, what they would do is when they were practicing this homosexuality, they were not doing it in private. They were doing it in public. They would do it in their nadis, in their public gathering places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they heard about these guests of Lut alayhi salam, and that they were young and they were handsome, wal'iyadu billah, they came to commit sodomy with them. And subhanAllah, you think about the craziness of what's happening. They're trying to sodomize angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَجَاءَهُ قَوْمَهُ يُهْرَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمِن قَبْلُ كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they came racing to the home of Lut alayhi salam. And they had just come from committing the sodomy. As'alallahu al-afiyah. They had just committed the act, and this mob of people started gathering around outside the home of Lut alayhi salam. Who told them? The wife of Lut alayhi salam. His wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he gave the example and the analogy for the disbelievers. That to the day of judgment, that for the disbelievers, they have two examples. امْرَأَةَ نُوحٍ وَامْرَأَةَ لُوطٍ. The wife of Nuh alayhi salam, who didn't believe in Nuh alayhi salam, and the wife of Lut alayhi salam. And she didn't believe in Lut alayhi salam. And so her khiyana, that she had, not only that she told the people, she said, oh, did you hear? My husband has, you know, these people have come, he has guests. And so she told them, and then they came running. فَخَانَتَاهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they did khiyana. They were like cheaters to their husband. And in fact, it's their disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Lut alayhi salam, Subhanallah, when the people started gathering around the home of Lut alayhi salam, and you're talking about a mob, we're talking about a nation, it's not just a few people, you're talking about a mob of people, and Lut alayhi salam is just by himself. He has himself and he has his daughters. And he has these three guests that he has to protect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا لُوطًا سِيءَ بِهِمْ وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرْعًا وَقَالَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيبٌ. Subhanallah, this verse of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا جَاءَتْ رُسُلُنَا لُوطًا, that when our messengers came to Lut, سِيءَ بِهِمْ, he became grieved. وَضَاقَ بِهِمْ ذَرَعًا, and he became, felt so powerless. وَقَالَ هَذَا يَوْمٌ عَصِيمٌ, he said that this is one of the most distressful days, because he has these three guests and he can't protect them. And then when these people came to the home of Lut alayhi salam, and they gathered around, he got so angry at them. He said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي بِكُمْ قُوَّةً أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. He said, if only I have some power over you. أَوْ آوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ, or that I could betake myself to some powerful support, or I could turn to some powerful support. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, يرحم الله لوطا لقد كان يأوي إلى ركن شديد. That may the mercy, when Lut عليه السلام said, if only I had some, لو أن لي بكم قوة, if only I had power to stop you, أو أوي إلى ركن شديد, or that I would betake, or I would turn to a powerful support. And who, what powerful support does he have? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ لُوطًا, may the mercy of Allah be upon Lut alayhi salam. لَقَدْ كَانَ يَأْوِي إِلَىٰ رُكْنٍ شَدِيدٍ. Up until now, Lut alayhi salam didn't know that these were the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as he knew, these were his guests, and he was about to lose control of the situation. And he had no power, as he thought at that point. And then the angel said to him, قَالُوا إِنَّا رُسُلُ رَبِّكَ لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. They said, we are the messengers of your Lord. لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ, they'll never be able to come to you.
فَأَسْرِ بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطْعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the instructions. They told Lut alayhi salam, don't worry, We are the angels of Allah. We are the messengers of Allah. لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. We've come to destroy them. And now you have the instructions. This is subhanAllah. This is his instructions. Lut, leave the town tonight. You and your family, leave and don't turn around. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحِ, that their appointment, their scheduled time is the morning. أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ, isn't the morning soon? And it's interesting, some of the Mufassirun will say that it was almost as if these people of Lut, even they're hastening the punishment. Right? They're saying to Lut, bring us the punishment now. No, you can't even bring the punishment now. It's in no control of yours. The punishment is coming in the morning. إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحُ. أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبٍ. How many people left with Lut alayhi salam? When Ibrahim alayhi salam is arguing with the angels that there's believers in there, there's no believers in Sodom. There's no believers in Sodom except Lut alayhi salam and his two daughters. And his two daughters. Lut alayhi salam and his two daughters. That's it. And his wife. Some people say that Lut's wife didn't leave with Lut. When he was leaving, she refused to leave. And others say that she did leave with the family, but she turned around. Allah, as the angel said, their instruction is, وَلَا يَلْتَفِتْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا امْرَأَتَكَ, that none of you turns around except your wife. And she was one of the kuffar. She disbelieved in Nuh and Lut alayhi salam. And she was one of those who was destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the decree came, جَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا, we made the highest of it the lowest of it. And so it is narrated that Jibreel alayhi salam went into his angelic form. How many wings does Jibreel alayhi salam have? 600 wings. With one of his wings, Jibreel alayhi salam picked up the entire nation of Sodom in the morning. Until the inhabitants of the heavens could hear the barking of their dogs, that they were in the air with one aim, with one wing of Jibreel alayhi salam, and then they were turned upside down and sent back to the earth. The area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمْطَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً مِّن سِنْجِيلٍ مَنْضُودٍ, that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after they were raised up and sent back down to the earth on their heads and destroyed, as they like to flip things around in life, such did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flip their nation. They were flipped back down, and then after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them hijara, rocks, min sijil mamdud. Sijil is a word that you're familiar with, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fil, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ حِجَارَةً وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Abraha and the people of the elephant like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Qawm Lut by raising them up, sending them down back to the earth, destroyed them, and then on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down upon them hijara, sent down upon them rocks, min sijil, these are burning rocks that had their names on it. Had their names, each one was destroying pebbles, they were destroyed with them, to destroy them and finish them off. The place where Sodom was destroyed is where the Dead Sea is currently. The Dead Sea. Now, a lot of you might not be familiar with the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is in Jordan, and I'm not too familiar with it as well. But I researched a little bit about it, and there's some interesting things about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is not the Red Sea, okay? It's an inland lake. What that means is, if you've ever gone to these, you know, fancy suburbia places, all these nice houses, and then there's a lake in the middle. Where did that lake come from? They built it. They dug some hole, and they put like a water hose or something, and then they just filled it up. It's an inland lake. The Dead Sea is known to be the lowest area, lowest place on earth. It's known to be the lowest place on earth. The dimensions of the Dead Sea, it's about 76 kilometers in length. 76 kilometers in length, about 18 kilometers wide, and about 400 meters deep at the deepest point. The Dead Sea is very heavy in its salt. And so the Dead Sea is known for, when people go to the Dead Sea, for example, I'm not saying Muslims go to it, but for people who go to the Dead Sea, if you go into the water, you'll actually float on top of the water. Because the water is so thick that, you know, it just floats things to the top. And it is said that this is the area that Sodom was destroyed. This is what remains of them. And that the people, they pass by it. Inshallah ta'ala, you know, you might be passing at the mall or something like that, and you see Dead Sea minerals, cosmetics from the Dead Sea. How many people have seen that? Dead Sea minerals? Okay, inshallah ta'ala, we'll talk about it afterwards, inshallah ta'ala. Because that is people extracting minerals from the Dead Sea and making cosmetics out of it. and we learned about Thamud and we learned about other places, that's going into these dead places, not learning the lessons of what happened to these people. Nasal Allah al-afiyah. When we look at the story of Lut alayhi salam with these people of Sodom, lessons. Number one, and we've mentioned a couple of lessons. Number one is that the power is always in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I imagine that, you know what, if I talk about homosexuality, someone out there is going to be angry with me. And I'm like, alhamdulillah that they're angry. I would not wish for a person like that to be happy with me. Because if they're happy with me and they're in this type of agenda, then nas'alullah al-afiyah, that, you know, something's wrong. So, in life, human beings, they seek out human pleasure. They seek out human pleasure. Since, you know, when a child is very young, they're like, you know, mama, baba, do you like, you know, they're looking for that, kind of like that acceptance. And as a human being grows older, they continue to try sucking out that love from other human beings. Right? They try sucking that love out, so they do things in order to impress the boss. They do things so that people will praise them. They do things so that they can show off. Oh look, I read Quran really good. Do you like my Quranic recitation? MashaAllah, you're an excellent qari. Alhamdulillah. Right? Is the action done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or is it done for the human beings? And so this is something, it's a shirk. It's an association with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's a shirkul khafi. It's a hidden shirk. A shirk that many people might be slipping into and they're not aware of this. And so actions must be done sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any human being. You must do the action sincerely for Allah azza wa jal, and you do not, and this is an interesting point, because a lot of people, a lot of Muslims, they might desist from an action for fear of people looking at them. Okay, so imagine this, person comes into the masjid, they want to pray two rak'ahs, but no, there's three people looking at them that want to know, is this person a righteous Muslim or not? So what do? I'm not going to pray two rak'ahs. I'm just going to sit down. Even though the Prophet ﷺ said, pray two rak'ahs before you sit down, you're like, no, but I'm afraid of shirk. And so this person wants to lead the prayer, and they have a good Quranic recitation, but if they read good, everybody's going to say, mashallah, excellent Quranic reciter. So what do? I'm going to read bad. I'm going to read like surahs that, you know, I'm going to read bad so that everybody, nobody praises me after that. You guys know what I'm talking about? Has this person committed riya? And the answer is yes. How so? Because they're desisting from the action for fear of the people. In this equation, the people have caused this person to not do the action. So whether you do the action or not, because of the people, you've got riya going on. So this person, if they know how to recite the Quran good and well, they're commanded to recite excellent. So when they go to lead the prayer, they're going to recite excellent, but the people might say good things about them. So they must recite excellent for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must do the action and you must do it sincerely for Allah azza wa jal. There's no other option. You don't just run away from doing good deeds. And another example of this, inshallah ta'ala, some people benefit from it. A sister who, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve her, wishes to start wearing the hijab. What happens? Shaitan comes to her and says, oh, what are the people are going to say about you? What are the people going to say? Your family members, they go, oh, now you became religious on us? And her friends are going to say, oh, just yesterday you weren't wearing hijab. Now you're wearing hijab. Who do you think you are? You're so holy. And so the fear that, oh, now I'm not righteous. I can't wear this hijab. All of these things, shaitan plays tricks. Here is the bottom line. The human being must do the action and they must do it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the woman must wear hijab and she must wear it sincerely. So whether someone criticizes you or praises you, it should not make an effect on the person. They should be doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Actually, I want to make a side point for many of you good students of knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. When you're giving your lecture, someone's going to come up to you and they're going to say, mashallah, that was an excellent lecture. A lot of people in their beginning stages, they don't know how to react to praise. So what they do is, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, how dare you praise me, I'm so great, how dare you praise me. So as you can see, this, the person, they think that it's something righteous to put the person down who praised them. And when I was very young, this happened to me. Someone gave a beautiful lecture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. They're a great speaker. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. And I went to them after and I told them, I loved your speech. I was a little kid. Mr. Muhammad al-Sharif. And this speaker looked at me. He didn't even respond. He was just silent. And he gave me this ugly face. And a face of, how dare you praise me? And I thought, I felt so awkward and so embarrassed. I said, my apologies, I should never have said anything nice to you. And so, as a young child, I learned that lesson. Alhamdulillah, as I grew older, how do you react to someone who's saying kind words to you? You say, Jazakumullahu khairan. Is it that difficult? Someone says some kind words to you, say, Jazakumullahu khairan. What I like to do as well, when someone says kind words, they say, Jazakumullahu khairan, I really benefited from the lecture. I like to benefit from the person who said that. I would say to the person, Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullahu khairan for your kind words. What did you learn? What did you benefit from the lecture? What was the part that you remember the most? And then, you know, I'll take my pen out and start taking notes so I can benefit. If this person enjoyed something in the lecture, inshallah ta'ala, for future lectures, I can perhaps put more of those things that people find beneficial and they focus on. This is, subhanAllah, just because it's a very important point as you're doing khutbahs and you're, you know, doing halaqas and so on and so forth, all of you, tulab al-ilm, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow's shuyukh. It's been my experience that a lot of people, they look down upon praise, but they seek out the complaints and criticisms of the people when they give lectures. So let's say someone gave a khutbah or gave a halaqah, right? And so people say, mashallah, it was a beautiful halaqah, beautiful lecture. They're saying to themselves, mashallah, that's really nice, but I don't need that. I don't need that. I just want you to give me the criticism because I'm tough. And I can take all the, I want the criticism. Because that's what really matters. When you insult me and say bad things and negative things, that's how I grow. So what this person does now, and when I train Al-Maghrib instructors, I would tell them that this is not the right attitude, that a person only focuses on the negatives. Because let's say you have 100 students. Out of the 100 students, one of them, let's say two of them, are extremely angry and mad at the instructor. Extremely mad and angry at the sheikh. But 98 of the students are so happy. They loved it. The two people that are complaining, they'll say something like, how dare you bring up the issue of Qawm Lut? This is homophobia. How dare you speak like that? And then the sheikh might be like, subhanAllah, you know, maybe I shouldn't be speaking about things like that. Even though 98% of the people might be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they didn't say anything except, Jazakallah khair, we really love the speech. If the person only focuses on the negative, they take the negative people as their guides in how they improve. And it's not the best guide. I'm not saying don't listen to the feedback. In fact, I'm saying elicit even the feedback. Before they come and complain, you already are pre-looking at what's working good and what's not working good. So all of this is leading to love of human beings. Back to the issue of love for human beings. When you start talking to people, you might miss out on this ingredient of love of human beings in the beginning stages. So you start going to your school and you start telling people that homophobia is such and such, it's something blessed and great and loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not saying use that term, it's a term that they made up and it's got conditioning behind it. Find another word, inshallah ta'ala. But let's say you start speaking like this, who will be angry with you? Your teacher will be angry. That lovely teacher that's always so nice to everybody, now she's freaking out on you. And she's giving you detention because you're talking like this. Who else is going to be mad at you? The fellow students. So you will see that the initial ingredient is that the people around you might start, you won't get their love. And a lot of humans are attached to that love. You've got to turn to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what's going to keep you going. It's when you turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla's love and you say, Ya Allah, this is an action I'm doing for your love, not for the love of human beings. What happens to this person? They get expelled from school, and then what happens? Then the news media follows them. And then what happens? They go on national TV. And then what happens? They become a champion for the cause. And human beings all around the world love this person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi that when He loves His slave, When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a slave, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love all of you. And I wish the same for me, inshallah ta'ala. When Allah loves his slave, he calls Jibreel alayhi salam. He calls Jibreel and he says, "Ya Jibreel, I love so and so. So love this person." Allah mentions this person by name. And so Jibreel alayhi salam calls out to the people, the angels and the inhabitants of the heaven, "Allah loves such and such a person." Name mentioned. Allah loves such and such a person. So you love this person as well. All the inhabitants of the heavens love this person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places qabool on earth for this person. And so if you, this is the thing, if you truly want human love, you're going to wear hijab, you're going to stand up for the truth, you're going to call to Allah Azza wa Jal. If you truly want human love, then follow the steps. Seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will get Allah Azza wa Jal's love, and then Jibreel alayhi salam's love, and then all the angels of the heavens' love, and then you will have qabool of the human beings' love inside their hearts for you. And so when you look, and we're reflecting back on the story of Lut alayhi salam, do we love Lut alayhi salam? Of course we do. How many human beings have loved Lut alayhi salam? He did his actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though the people around him, nobody believed in him. And you could say nobody loved him in that area of Sodom. And who cares if they didn't love him? The issue was that he was calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we said, no one can hasten it. Also, when it comes to the guidance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nobody can say, with the mushrikeen of Mecca, they used to say to the Prophet ﷺ that whenever we feel like it, we'll become Muslim. We don't feel like it right now. You know how people will say something like, "You know what, I want to become Muslim, but you know what, I'm doing something right now, maybe later I'll become Muslim. Whenever I feel like it, I'll become Muslim." Now someone who's saying that, maybe they're not doing it out of arrogance, but the people of Mecca said it out of arrogance. They said that whenever we, like, you know, maybe we'll become Muslim, but whenever we feel like it, it's on our terms. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, that you don't make any wills, illa an yasha Allah, except if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills it, Rabbul Alameen. And so hidayah, it's all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person has to humble themselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. Someone says, "You know what, I don't want to become Muslim right now." Humble yourself to Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't think that it's just like, you know, anytime you feel like you become Muslim. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the message, don't turn your back on that message. Don't turn your back on that message. Illa an yasha Allah Rabbul Alameen. إِنَّ مَوْعِدَهُمُ الصُّبْحِ. As you see with the people of Lut, Sodom, they had an appointment in the morning. أَلَيْسَ الصُّبْحُ بِقَرِيبِ. It's something very soon, but it was a specific appointed time. And when that time comes, nobody can hold it back. And nobody can hasten it. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to destroy a nation, it is under the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All power is in the hands of Allah azza wa jalla. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the story of Sodom, Qawm Lut, وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. Allah destroyed the people of Lut alayhi salam, and then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. And it's not far. This punishment is not far from the ظالمين. In the other verse, that even though they said, you know, bring the punishment now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ يَوْمًا عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. And a day in the عند ربك, with your Lord, is the equivalent of 1,000 years according to your counting. According to your counting, it's 1,000 years. And so we're like, oh, hasteness, oh, is it tomorrow? Is it this day, that day? One day is 1,000 years to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is by the appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the destruction comes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. The wife of Lut alayhi salam, the wife, she was a disbeliever. Now the question is, did she practice this homosexuality, lesbianism? Did she practice it? The answer is absolutely not. She did not practice it. And the scholars have mentioned again and again and again that no prophet was married to a woman who cheated on her prophet in the marital sense. No woman of a prophet, no wife of a prophet committed zina. no wife of the Prophet committed, you know, lesbianism or and such. This is not possible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would marry, that, you know, a Prophet would be married to a woman like this. But she did khiyana. She did khiyana. This khiyana was her kufr. What was her sin? What was her sin? If you look at it, she didn't practice the action that the people of Sodom practiced. So what was her sin? There's a great lesson in this. Her sin was... what is her sin? What's the opposite of homophobic? Is what? Okay, she embraced homosexuality. If you could say that. I don't know. Do they have a word for people who support homosexuals? Sympathizers? She was a sympathizer, or let's use it in Islamic terms, there was nothing wrong with this action that she felt in her heart. In her heart, there's nothing wrong. What's the big deal? And so now this issue of, in her heart, there was no intention of hating the sin. There's no intention. Understand this now. We're living at a time, we're living in a nation that is publicly, I'm not saying everybody in the nation is in agreement with this, it's just that tables are turning more in favor of those who are promoting the homosexual agenda. The media is definitely supporting this. The movies that are coming out, the popular movies that everybody's watching are supporting this. The language of the people is changing so that they start using homosexual type of language into their words. So someone will say, for example, and I'll give you this example, a brother puts his hand on another brother's arm, on another brother's shoulder, or they're holding hands or something like that. Is there something wrong with that? No. But then the other brother will say, get off me, what are you, gay? And the language starts, it becomes in the joking of the language. Or someone will say, you know, Brother Muhammad, I was thinking about you last night. Don't worry, I'm not gay. And it becomes in the jokes of the common language, which is part of propaganda. It is a desensitization or something like that. If you think about the different movies that are coming out and the different shows that are allowing this, and subhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, but if you look at TV after, I think, what, 8 o'clock upwards? Is that correct? What time does the homosexual stuff come out? What time? What time is it? I was going to start at 10 o'clock, but then I said, no, hold on a second. It starts at... I think maybe 7 o'clock or something like that. Prime time. No, you'd be so after 8. Okay, and if anybody's pushing it further back, it's which group? It's the Christian groups. They're the ones who are pushing it further. If you went to Australia, it might be at, you know, 2 in the afternoon. Because there's nobody pushing it further back. And so Muslims have to be part of this. Writing letters, they put something, they say something, you tell them, we're offended by this. We want you to put this at 3 a.m. in the morning. Just push it further away until they have no more time. Pushing it further and further away. But see, they have primetime shows. The theme of the primetime shows, even if it's cartoon, still has homosexual themes to it. Their cartoon and their primetime, they come at 7 o'clock, they come at 8 o'clock, and they're common. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When a parent is busy with their child, what do? Go watch TV. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Juraij, it's a story in Sahih al-Bukhari, and you can look it up inshallah ta'ala. He was a worshipper of Allah, and known for his ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mother once called him. This was before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nations that came before. His mother called him, and she said, you know, Ya Juraij. So he said in his salah, Ya Rabbi salati am ummi. Oh my Lord, my salah or my mother. And so he didn't break his salah, and she called him again, she called him a third time, and then she cursed him. Her curse, this is in Sahih Bukhari, she said, may you see a prostitute. This is her curse to her son. And the story continues that a prostitute indeed, you can read up the story inshallah ta'ala, look it up in Sahih al-Bukhari. But I just want to mention this. May you see a prostitute. Now just imagine that. we're living, we're here in Canada, America, and all these European nations, so on. Have you ever seen a prostitute before? Does the TV have these things on TV? Does it have it? Does it have something like this? Who brought the TV into the house? In other words, from where's this curse? Who had control of this curse? It's the parents who brought the TV into the house. Who's allowing the children to watch these TVs? It's the parents again. Until the child becomes old enough that if the parent says no, they'll go buy their own TV. Now when they get older like that, that's their issue. You did your dawah to them and you guided them and protected them as much as you could and you guided them and helped them. And if they get older and they're misguided, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, never stop doing guidance to them, but you did your job. A lot of parents mistake, they'll say, I want to give them the munkar now, so that later on they won't desire the munkar anymore. And what kind of logic is that? Allowing a child to commit sin at a young age so that they won't become crazy excited about these things when they get older. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the people, Bani Israel, and they were destroyed too. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ, that they drank the love of the idol, the ijl, that calf, the golden calf, بِكُفْرِهِمْ, because of their kufr. Because of their kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to go further and further into the haram. And so, if someone says that possibly partaking in haram on a small scale is enough to protect a person from large-scale haram, it's obviously a misunderstanding. Someone has misunderstood what the issue is. And what I'm saying here, some Muslim parents would disagree with me. They're like, ah, oh, come on, you're being tough, you know, TV, you know, we gotta work with the media, we gotta go on the news, stuff like that. Okay, forget that side of things. I'm talking about a parent and the children that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them an amana. If you take out the TV, there's no more TV. I'm not saying shut it off. I'm saying take it out. These are the parents. Parents, take off. There's no TV in the house. What will you do with your life now? What will you do? You'll go home and there will be nothing to do. There's nothing. Honestly. Take the TV out, there's nothing to do. In other words, they have no life. They have no life except the television set. Nobody comes to the end of their life and says, Ya Rabbi, I wish I had watched more TV. I wish I had learned more from the Discovery Channel. In fact, it's a pacifier. It pacifies the people so that they can do things. They can't come to a halaqah like this because their show is on. Well, they can watch the video later. Right? They can watch and watch and watch and watch. It's just the people that sit back and watch it. And this, as we said, one of the most amazing things for the mala. Remember we were speaking about the mala? One of the most amazing things for them is the advent of the television set. Because now they could reach all these ants. They could reach all of them. Just a couple of grasshoppers that own the TV stations and own the programming. A couple of groups that try to stop them and push the programming till 3 a.m. in the morning, but still, they still own it. Freedom of the press belongs to people who own the press. They're the ones who have the freedom. Alhamdulillah, with the internet though, you can do many things. SubhanAllah, just another thing. The internet has leveled the field. If someone has an internet news website, and there are many examples of this, when something like what happens in like Lebanon, Lebanon, when you know the Israelis are bombing down on Lebanon, and now in the olden days it's just propaganda on the TV media and stuff like that. They own the TV stations. It's not that they have lobby groups. They own it. It's their station. You're writing letters, please can you write nice stories about the Muslims? They own it. It's their TV station. Okay? Now what the internet has done is it's leveled the playing field. You don't have to go to that TV station anymore to get your news. What can you do? You can get the blog of someone who is in a town that's being bombed currently and they are telling you the truth of what's happening. And these news media, they see the power slipping from their hands. Obviously they still have power in controlling it, but now you see they're trying to start their own blogs, they're trying to start things on the internet. You have the power, you don't have to wait for someone to write a nice article about you. You can create the audience for yourself. So there's no more excuses and no more Muslims saying we wish this, we wish that. Just stand up and do something about it. Just stand up and do about it and call to Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you the tools. Now it's about sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and taking advantage of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that people, they travel in the lands, but they don't learn the lessons from those people, the nations that were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ دَمَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ أَمْثَالُهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Won't they travel in the lands? فَيَنْظُرُوا, so that they will see, كَيْفَ كَانَ, how was the destruction, how was عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, how was the final ends of the people who came before them. When you're talking to someone about Islam, I'm imagining a brother, a sister on some sidewalk somewhere telling someone about Islam. The person is responding, I don't believe in this. And subhanAllah, that this isn't, it's not, will the punishment of Allah come or not? It already came. And we watch it all the time. And these days that we're living in, we get live broadcasting of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's being broadcasted live. And you see before and after pictures, you see subhanAllah the tsunami that hit. When that tsunami hit, we heard that people died in Somalia. And people died in Indonesia. And you're like, this is the same event? How can this happen? That on one side of the earth, people have been killed by this, on another side of the earth, people died as well. How is that possible? And then when you see a dramatization, if you've seen this on the internet, a dramatization of the tsunami, they show you the epicenter where the tsunami kicks off, and the tsunami, the waves of the tsunami, they actually travel faster than an airplane. They travel fast, like if an airplane was flying and the wave, like you're talking about an airplane, right? Airplane's flying, a tsunami wave would pass the airplane. Even though the airplane's flying like this, you know, you'd be in the airplane and the wave is just passing from underneath, is leaving the airplane in the dust. Tsunami within minutes is traveling across the earth. What kind of destruction are we talking about? This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا هِيَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ بِبَعِيدٍ. That it's not very far. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When you talk about the tsunami, you talk about, you know, punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of people immediately, they will start to, how can you say that's a punishment? Innocent people died in those things, and so on and so forth. This is the common reaction of people who don't want to answer why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala angry? They don't want to answer that question. And instead they turn it to, okay, if it wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was it? What will they say? It was Mother Nature. Subhanallah. It was Mother Nature that did the tsunami? It was Mother Nature that brought the rain? Is that Mother Nature? Who is Mother Nature? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're intelligent and they're very smart. They can make computers and so on. But when it comes to the real issue, they call it Mother Nature. And they're just blind. فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. The eyes are not blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. It's the hearts. After this tsunami, I went for Hajj that year. And I sat for lunch, and there was a group of Indonesian people. And I sat down, and one of the Indonesian brothers, mashallah, he spoke Arabic. He was like the sheikh of the group. And I told him about, you know, about the tsunami and so on. He said, Alhamdulillah. He said, we came for Hajj early. We came for Hajj early, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected us. And so I said, what is the situation of the people? Is everybody in Indonesia saying, how dare you say it was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like the people in North America are saying? Is that what the people in Indonesia are saying? He said, no. He said, everybody's coming on the TV in Indonesia telling the people to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying that this is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to get our act together. And so when you go to the real people, the lesson of power that they learn is that they need to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so we must learn the lessons. How many people believed with Lut alayhi salam? Believed in Lut alayhi salam? He said two daughters of Lut alayhi salam. One of the most intense lessons that we learned, a lot of people when they're doing da'wah, if people don't enter into Islam, then the person thinks like, you know what, there's no hope in these people. I'm not doing any da'wah anymore. Believe me, you got a lot more work to do. And as the Prophet ﷺ, they don't give up. They consistently are doing da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lut alayhi salam, only his two daughters believed him and then they left. They left Sodom, they were destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, if you have the truth with you, the truth of Islam, if you have the truth of Islam, do not be disheartened by those who don't believe in this message of Islam. Don't be disheartened by it. Your job is to pass on the message. In alayka illa al-balagh. The balagh, the passing on the message, is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires of you. The flipping of the hearts is something that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not in your hands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, when the people gathered around the home of Lut alayhi salam and they wanted to do this act with the guests of Lut alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La amruk, innahum lafi sakratihim ya'mahun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La amruk. SubhanAllah, this testification, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies in the Quran. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by your life, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no human being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has testified by their life except the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, La amruk, by your life, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. That indeed they are in their intoxication blinded. Why have they drank alcohol? Did they drink? They're intoxicated with what? With lust. Lust. L-U-S-T. Lust. The shahwa. Ash-shahawat. Which is one of the techniques of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. One of the techniques of shaitan is to use the issue of lust to misguide the people. And so if the person is not going to be misguided with misconceptions, so this is like the intellectual person, they tell them, hey, Islam is terrorism, and this and that. The person is like, you know, I don't believe in those things. What does shaitan come to the person with after that? With the lusts. And so when you see the whole media, someone will ask the question, is music permissible? I was going to say halal, because then the obvious answer, we know. If you just look at the lyrics, the words of the music, go from song to song to song to song to song to song, just go through all of them. What are they talking about? Lust. That's what they're talking about. Shahawat. The music is talking about shahawat. The movement of the music is to mimic the dancing. The dancing of, you know, males only? No. And if it was, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, right? It's provoking the lusts of the people in any which way that it can possibly. In the TV, in the clothing, in the music, all the whole society is lust driven. It's lust driven in every area of the thing, so much so that you see even little girls, and even the parents are dressing their girls in a way that is lustful. That their clothing is tight, the clothing is, you know, this and that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. In this area, for Muslims and for everybody who's listening to this, one of the ways shaitan will get to a people is through this lust between boyfriend and girlfriend. Which is something that, you know, people, they don't even get married these days. You know why? If they get married, the woman is going to, after 1 year, the relationship is over and she takes half of the property and she goes. He'd rather keep her as a girlfriend with no responsibilities by law. This is the way the issue lies. And when men are like that, in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, they're actually seeking only one thing. And so they act very kind and polite. This is interesting. Sheikh Saeed was mentioning this. When a woman has a boyfriend, he's the nicest. He's the nicest. If you see people sitting in a store and the guy is sitting beside this woman and holding her hands and so on, you know this is a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. Because if they were married, they would be sitting on opposite sides and they would have a little fight and, you know, they wouldn't be dressed up that nice. And so people have said the ideal is to have that type of relationship. But what happens when the woman becomes ugly and fat? Oh, too bad. Too bad for her. She'll just have to go to a woman's only gym or something like that where she doesn't want any men to see her and no men see her. And that's it. You're talking marriage, these things are like, it just doesn't happen. And so the nation, their number one asset is this beauty that they have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And so understanding this, now that you understand this, think twice about any music that you might be addicted to. Think twice about any shows that you have, or think twice about even having a TV set. And think twice about the advertisements and the way people are talking and so on and so forth. One of the scariest things, do you guys know there was a TV show when we were growing up, it was called I Dream of Jeannie. Do you guys know this show? It's a very old show. When I give examples of TV, I give very old examples. One brother was telling me this. I Dream of Jeannie and Three's Company. Do you guys know Three's Company? When you're younger, subhanAllah, you don't see the haram. You don't see it. One brother was telling me that when they were older, in high school, they were watching a rerun of I Dream of Jeannie. And then one of the boys in the class said, oh, look at that woman. And he described the woman. And then this brother said, subhanAllah, my whole upbringing with this TV show, I never realized that this woman's belly was showing. And that her chest was like, and you know, showing like this and so on and so forth. He said, I never noticed that. But yet, this was a TV show that you know, that generation, they all grew up with. Everybody knows that TV show. Three's Company, same thing, about a homosexual man who lives with two women, but he's not actually homosexual. And this was like from the 70s that they were still trying to promote these things and make it a joke. Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's the lust that they're indoctrinating. You take your child and you say, go ahead, watch some TV. Watch a good, wholesome show like Three's Company. It's a comedy. Using comedy to lighten the issue so that these children, they absorb these things, absorb these things until a time comes later in life where then they say, what's wrong with them? Which is what Lut alayhi salam's wife did. What's wrong with them? Nasallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The issue of this homosexuality in other nations around the world, it is private. Of the few nations that have made it public is the Western nations. It's of the very few nations that have done this in the history of human beings. The history of human beings is always looked down upon, always shameful, but you are looking and you are seeing this. I remember on, you know, here in Canada, they had a gay marriage, if not last year, the year before, or something like that. Was it in Ottawa? One in Toronto, one in Ottawa, right? Public, all of these things. That's a lot of afia. No, I think it wasn't. What was it? There was something that they said special about it. Okay, they got married in the church. They finally broke into the church and they got married. What's that? Okay, they came from the States to come to the free country of Canada to get married. Okay, that's a very good point. I thought they said because in Canada we're free. Because we allow homosexual marriages. I say one of the amazing blessings of America is that they still forbid this thing. Anyhow, that's another issue. Different parties and so on and so forth. That's something else. It's unfolding in front of me. I just have some statistics. In 1942, the American Psychiatric Association declared that homosexuality was a disease. In the books of diseases, homosexuality was one of them. They fought long and hard. In 1973, they took it out of their books. They said it's no longer a disease. It's no longer a disease. 1973. And so, you know what? They were also had to take out other things. If homosexuality is not a disease, you know, it's just like some genetic. Lut alayhi salam says, مَا سَبَقَكُمْ بِهَا أَحَدٌ مِّنَ الْعَالَمِينَ Lut alayhi salam, this action that they're partaking in, he said that there's no nation that has preceded you in this. So if someone says this is something genetic, they have lied. They just make things up. And how are you going to prove it? They'll just argue it. It's genetic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create this in the person. is something invented that they did, something invented. And as Lut alayhi salam said, 1972, the United Church of Christ became the first Christian denomination to ordain an openly gay candidate. This is like the church in the 1970s. And as the churches, some of the churches have stood strong. And as I said, that when you have gay rallies like this, there are Christian groups that stand up and say it. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, there will be more Muslim groups that do that. But as well, other churches have changed as time progressed. One of the sins is that they did not forbid the evil amongst themselves. So a person sees a sin. Lut alayhi salam's wife is the example. She's not forbidding the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is like Bani Israel, كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَن مُنْكَرٍ فَعَلُوهُ. They never used to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining why they were destroyed. They never used to forbid the munkar, the evil and the sins that they used to do. And so, one of the causes of a nation to be destroyed is that the sin goes unchecked. Nobody says anything. Someone's like openly gay or something like that. Nobody says anything. We're just quiet. They don't want to be said. Okay, we got the 2-minute warning, inshallah, ta'ala, and I'll be done. I'll finish it off here. In conclusion, inshallah, number one, one of the things that we learn, lessons that we learn, it's not good enough that a person remains quiet. A person must speak out and must hate it in their heart, must speak out and change things if they can with their tongue, and must change and things with their hands if they can. And so a person is actively, proactively, this issue and many other issues in the society, they have to actively work towards this. Secondly, I hope and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that our eyes are open to all the different ways that even though Qawm Lut was destroyed, this action still lives on till day. It's one of the main issues of the times that we're living in now. And so a person must insist upon standing up for the truth and calling the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worship Allah alone, and calling them and protecting them from this harmful sin of homosexuality. Nas'Allah al-afiyah. And so I conclude by saying as what all the prophets said to their people, Ya qawm i'budu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. O my people, worship Allah, you have no Lord but Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair. We'll start tonight, inshallah ta'ala, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says, this is Surah Al-Hajj, verses 42-47.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودُ وَقَوْمُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَقَوْمُ لُوطٍ وَأَصْحَابُ مَدْيَنَ وَكُذِّبَ مُوسَى فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ فَكَأَيِّن مِّن قرية أهلكناها وهي ظالمة فهي خاوية على عروشها وبئر معطلة وقصر مشيد أفلم يسيروا في الأرض فتكون لهم قلوب يعقلون بها أو آذان يسمعون بها فإنها لا تعمى الأبصار ولكن تعمى القلوب التي في الصدور ويستعجلونك بالعذاب ولن يخلف الله وعده وإن يوما عند ربك كألف سنة مما تعدون.
In these verses, as I'm sure if you've taken with us the first and the second, we spoke about Thamud, we spoke about Ad. And if you've been following along and you've been reading the Quran throughout these weeks, you've probably started to notice more attention you're noticing that there is more and more verses in the Quran that speak about these perish nations. Speak about the people of Mecca, Ad, Thamud, Musa, Madian, all of these things, your eyes start to open and you realize these are verses that we've been reading for so long, yet we might not have had that full awareness of what we're reciting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ, that if they disbelieve in you, if they say that you're a liar, if they say that, hey, you know what, this issue of Islam, it's not the truth. They're not the first ones to do that. There's nothing special about them. There was people, فَقَدْ كَذَّبَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ, before them were people who disbelieved in the prophets. قَوْمُ نُوحٍ وَعَادٌ وَثَمُودٍ, the people of Nuh and Ad and Thamud. وَقَوْمُ Ibrahim, the people of Ibrahim. وَقَوْمُ Lut. And tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be speaking about the people of Lut, alayhi salam. وَأَصْحَابُ Madian. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has some lessons here in these verses that I wanted to start it off with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُذِّبَ Musa, that Musa alayhi salam, and inshallah ta'ala, that's going to be our next series, is going to be about Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, that I gave respite. Or the word in English, if you translate it, is I gave them time, ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ, and how horrible and terrible was the snatching and the rejection and pulling back of them. فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because when you're going around and telling someone about Islam, and then they say to you in response, I don't believe you. I don't believe that this is the truth. This person, only a few moments on earth and then their life is over. And if they disbelieve, there were people who disbelieved before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ, how many populations, how many nations has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed? فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٍ, and how many nations had transgressed, and you'll see as we've been following along in these different nations, injustice was the key ingredient that led to their destruction amongst other things, but at the top of their sins that were committed was their injustice to themselves, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ شِرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ, that indeed the greatest injustice a human being can do is to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though Allah azza wa jalla created this person, they attribute all the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than Allah azza wa jalla. وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that how many nations He destroyed, and they've tumbled down on their roofs. And this is interesting, when you go to perish nations, and you go to these nations, they're like tourist destinations, these places are. How many roofs have collapsed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَىٰ عُرُوشِهَا وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ, and wells, like drinking wells, that are abandoned. Nobody drinks from them anymore. وَبِئْرٍ مُعَطَّلَةٍ وَقَصْرٍ مَشِيدٍ, and castles lofty and well built. They're well built, these castles. The wells are abandoned, and the roofs have collapsed down. How many nations has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed? And the interesting thing is, even the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah is going to destroy them, they can't even hasten that. And we're going to talk about that with Qawm Lut. That they have no power whatsoever. All power is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, they will be destroyed, but it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the appointment. So don't try to hasten it. Even they're trying to put themselves into the driver's seat when it comes to their punishment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still in control. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be speaking about Qawm Lut. Qawm Lut, the people of Lut alayhi salam. Lut alayhi salam was the nephew of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were in Iraq. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, as you know, that he was giving da'wah to his people with the idols and so on, and nobody believed in Ibrahim alayhi salam except Lut alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوطٌ, that Lut alayhi salam, his nephew, believed in Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَقَالَ إِنِّي مُهَاجِرٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي. And they did hijrah from Iraq. They did hijrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to a place where they could worship Allah azza wa jal. And so they went to Bilad al-Sham. Bilad al-Sham. And the Sham, normally when people think Sham, they think Syria, but in reality, Sham includes much more than Syria. It includes Palestine, includes Jordan, and so on and so forth. Lebanon. The Sham area, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَّتِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهَا, that the place that we've blessed surrounding it. And as you know, in Surah Al-Isra, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. Right? So this is the sifa, the characteristics of a Sham. This is where Ibrahim alayhi salam did hijrah to. This is where Lut alayhi salam did hijrah to as well. And so it is incumbent upon the person to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their own safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Won't they travel in the lands? And we said this, that if you have a son or you have family members that have issues in their deen, one of the key da'wah techniques is to take them traveling with you. Go and travel in the land and see what was the conclusion, the final end of those who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jalla said, أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَتَكُونَ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. So that they would have hearts that they could think with. أَوْ آذَانٌ يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Or that they would have ears that they could hear with. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ. That it's not the eyes that are blind. And we said this before with these nations. They were skillful. They were intelligent. They could make the best computer products. I'm sure if they were alive today, they could make them. But when it came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were completely ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ. It's not the eyes that are blind, وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. But rather, it's the hearts that are in the chest that are blind. That's what's blind, is the person's heart is sealed. أسأل الله العافية. And may Allah عز وجل keep all of our hearts alive and open to hear the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah عز وجل says, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ. And as we see a recurring theme, is that whenever they couldn't get, they couldn't argue, they would insist upon the prophets to bring the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right then and there. They were saying, in kunta sadiqan, if you're telling the truth, then bring the punishment right now. This is the message that all the prophets got. وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدًا.